أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Continuing from where we left off last night, talking about the different sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we're all trying to understand what Imam Hussein had in mind as his journey began from Medina, what was going on through his mind. Continuing with those different sayings of Aba Abdullah as he begins this journey, and putting behind us the conversation that he had with Salama, we reach a few more very important conversations. Once again, very historical. We've more or less heard these lines as well from the Holy Imam. And that is the conversation that he has with his brother. Which brother? His brother Muhammad. Imam Hussein has a brother by the name of Muhammad. Now Tabari and others, they've narrated this story, and it's very famous that Imam Hussein, his brother Muhammad, finds out that he's leaving as well. His brother finds out that he's leaving. This Muhammad is the brother of Imam Hussein, but we don't call him Muhammad ibn Ali like we call him Hussein ibn Ali and Hassan ibn Ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Yeah. I told you yesterday, this usually happens to me. God created me this tall, so microphones usually struggle. Muhammad is the son of Ali, true, but they don't refer to him as Muhammad ibn Ali. They refer to him as Muhammad bin al-Hanafiyya. Al-Hanafiyya means the Hanafi woman. They use this term to refer to his brother Muhammad. Why? Because although he shared the same father, this son of Imam Ali Muhammad, yet they don't share the same mother. Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, they don't share the same mother with this Muhammad. In order to make this distinction, they refer to him as Muhammad bin al-Hanafiyya. She's from the tribe of Bani Hanifa. His mother was from that tribe, that's why they refer to him as that. So from now on, brothers and sisters, when you hear that name, Muhammad bin Hanafiyya, this question might come in your mind, oh, if he's the brother of Imam Hussein, why don't they just call him Muhammad ibn Ali? This is the reason. It's to distinguish between the sons of Fatima and between the sons of other than Fatima Zahra. Now, he loves his brother very much. And I do know, and some of you who might read a little bit more might also know, that there's a controversy surrounding Muhammad bin Hanafiyya. A little slight controversy. Not as much as it surrounds other individuals that didn't join Imam Hussein in his journey to Karbala. But the same controversy all holds here as well. Some question, hey, why did not Muhammad bin Hanafiyya also accompany his brother? And there are different answers that are given. Yes? History, brothers and sisters, doesn't have too much mercy. What do I mean? When it comes to history, there's going to be major differences of opinion sometimes. That shouldn't frighten us. These are all fields of study. History is a hard field of study, very hard. I don't have time to get into why it's so hard versus other sciences such as fiqh. But at the end of the day, it's very hard. I just want us to remember this and take away from this majlis today, that, hey, that's not the case that everything has to be set in stone when it comes to our history. There might be differences of opinion, perfectly fine. Anyway, Muhammad bin Hanafiyya comes up to his brother. He loves his brother very much. I want to share a story with you of Muhammad bin Hanafiyya in his earlier years. Of course, he's younger than Imam Hussein and Imam al-Hassan. In his earlier years during the Battle of Siffin, just to highlight how much he loves Imam Hassan, how much he loves Imam Hussein and wants the best for them. The Battle of Siffin was a very hard battle, and it never ended. It never ended because the Khawarij, they got in the way of it ending, or else it would have ended in favor of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They didn't allow that to happen. That itself, once again, is another story of how they messed up. And the Muslim Ummah till today is paying the price of the naivety and stupidity of the Khawarij. How they didn't let Imam Ali finish the job of Muawiyah back then. In the Battle of Siffin, that never ended in the favor of Amirul Mu'mineen, there's a lot of fighting going on. Muhammad bin Hanafiya is a warrior, he's a champion. In this story that we have in Bihar al-Anwar, it says how Amirul Mu'mineen kept sending this Muhammad bin Hanafiya to the battlefield. So it says Imam Ali would send him from the right. He would go with his soldiers. They would attack the right side of Muawiyah's army, break the lines, go through, cause some major damage. He would come back to his father. What's he telling his father? Al-Atash. Oh, father, I'm thirsty. His father would give him water. The account says that when he would drink water, his father would also sprinkle some water on his body because it's hot. And the chains and the links of the armor are heavy and hot. It says that as he would pour water on his body, his son Muhammad, and this water would go through the links of the armor and come out, clots of blood would come out with it. So it's not like today where you stand far away, you know, like in Fortnite, and you just shoot people, right? And you get away with it with no bruises and bumps on you. No. Back then, if you wanted to do damage, you would sustain damage as well. That's how fighting was back then. Yeah? Nowadays, you can do it with the controller. No problem, right? I got carried off a little bit. All right, let's go back. Muhammad bin Hanafiya, that's the first time. He goes again. His father gives him some time to rest. He goes again, sends him off. Now this time from the other side, he also causes major damage to the army of Muawiyah, comes back, same thing happens. Third time he sends him, from the middle this time. So think about it, you're worn out, you're tired, you're bruised, you're cut up, minor injuries, yet you're still sent, now this time from the heart of the enemy, and he comes back again. Now this time when he comes back and he's like really, poor thing is, he's beat up, it says, وَهُوَ يَبْكِي رَجَعْ وَقَدْ أَثْقَلَتْهُ الْجِرَاحَاتِ The injuries were too much for him now. They were weighing down on him. And he returned with these injuries. وَهُوَ يَبْكِي Muhammad bin Hanafiya is crying. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ Amir al-Mu'mineen stands up and says, فَقَبَّلَ مَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ He kissed him between his eyes on his forehead. And he says, Fidaka Abuk, may your father die for you. You see, that shows how much Amirul Mu'mineen loved this son of his, Muhammad. I'm saying all of this so we know that he wants the best for his brother Al Husayn, alayhi salam. Fidaka Abuk, laqad sarartani wallah. Ya bunayya. You made me happy. Well, by Allah, you've made me happy with the valor you've exhibited on the battlefield. فَمَا يُبْكِيكُ What is causing you to cry? I mean, you should be happy, right? You made me happy, your imam. He says, أَفَرَحٌ أَمْ جَزَى Are you grievous or are you happy? What are these tears? Are joy or tears of grief? What's wrong? He says to him, فَقَالْ كَيْفَ لَا أَبْكِي وَقَدْ عَرَضْتَنِي الْمَوْتِ ثَلَاثْ مَرَّاتِ You, how can I not cry? It's as if you're putting me out there, exposing me to death. It's as if you want me to die or something. He tells his father this. عَرَضْتَنِي لِلْمَوْتِ ثَلَاث مَرَّاتِ Three times you've sent me and you've gotten me that close in the face of death. So what's going on? Why are you not sending Al-Hasan wal-Husayn to the battlefield the way you're sending me to the battlefield? So he feels like there's something going on here. Like, is Amirul Mu'mineen doesn't like me too much? Maybe is he trying to get rid of me? But he's taking care of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn and he's not sending them to the battlefield. Look at the answer. And look at how Muhammad bin Hanafiya, once he hears the answer, he also confirms. He also agrees. Amirul Mu'mineen, it says, فَقَبَّلَ رَأْسَهُ He kissed his head and he said, يَا بُنَي, my son, you are my son. أَنْتَ إِبْنِي وَهَذَانْ إِبْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ But these two are the sons of Rasulullah. أَفَلَا أَصُونُهُمَا Should I not protect them? Should I not watch out for them? Should I not take care of them? Now, it's not just that they are the sons of Rasulullah. These are the imams to come. So Amir Mu'min is apparently taking care of them. قَالَ بَلَى. Yeah, of course, father. Like, he reminded me. Thank you. Of course. فِدَاكَ وَفِدَاهُمَا جَعَلَنِي اللَّهُ فِدَاكَ وَفِدَاهُمَا. May Allah make me their sacrifice and your sacrifice, O father. This is Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah, so we don't have too much of a doubt of his good intentions. Now, he approaches Imam al-Hussein when he hears that Imam Hussein is leaving Medina. What does he come to Imam Hussein with? He comes to him with suggestions. He comes to him with nasiha and nush, trying to help him out, give him good suggestions on how to do this. He tells him, oh brother, you're the most beloved of people, so don't reside in any particular place. Go around, send your representatives across the Islamic nation and Islamic lands for them to gather followers for you, but don't stay in one place, oh brother Hussein, because they're going to assassinate you. The Imam says, where do you think I should go? You see, the Imam knows where he's supposed to go, but look at how he respects a person who comes to him with a suggestion. We should take inspiration from this, right? When we do work sometimes, that's it. No one's supposed to talk to me. I am ma'soom. I know better what I'm doing, right? The Imam, the Prophet, they would take suggestions from people. They would consider them. They would discuss. It's not just about taking suggestions. It's about having dialogue sometimes even with others. Nowadays, we've gotten used to having monopolies, excluding others, not opening channels of dialogue. No, no, no. All of these should be there. None of us are ma'soom. You find this everywhere, unfortunately, when we see Islamic work happening, when we see activism taking place. Sometimes people don't want to talk to each other. Don't even want to hear each other out. The Imam here, of course he knows where to go, but he hears out his brother Muhammad. He says, where do you think I should go? What does his brother say? His brother says, Mecca. And if it isn't safe, go from there till things become clear and you can make the right decision. Now look at what the answer Imam Hussein gives. Imam Hussein, I want you to pay attention to this part. It's as if he's programmed. Something is going on in the mind of Imam Hussein. The importance of something is so bold in the mind of Abu Abdullah. Look at the answer he gives. He doesn't say, okay, yeah, Mecca sounds good. You know, I had that in mind too. I was going to go there anyway, anything like that. All of a sudden, he goes somewhere else. He says, oh, my brother, if there is no safe haven and place of refuge for me, I will not give my allegiance to Yazid bin Muawiyah. We were talking about where you want to go, and we feel that the safe haven for you right now is Mecca and things like that. You're dismissing all of that. You're ignoring all of that. Not dismissing, ignoring it, and just making another point here, as if, once again, he wants history to know that, hey, the issue that I had was I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid. Now here they say Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah, he hears this, you know, he gets the feeling that, okay, Imam Hussein, he doesn't care what's going to happen to him. He's not too worried if he can find a safe haven or not. What matters to him is what? The same thing he did dua for over the Prophet's grave that we covered other nights. Is rida Allah wa rida rasulihi. It is the satisfaction of Allah and the satisfaction of his Prophet. That's all that matters. You see what I mean when I say it's like he's programmed. Yeah, he's programmed to servitude and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is on a journey. He wants to save Islam. He wants to serve Islam. But he always has Allah's satisfaction in mind. Once again, echoing for us that, hey, if we want to do work, if we want to put Imam Hussein's name on it, we want to make sure that we're doing it and that's accompanied with Allah's satisfaction. Please, brothers and sisters, this is so important. You find this again and again and again in the story of Ashura, from Medina onwards. Every step Abu Abdullah takes, every step his son, Ali al-Akbar, for example, takes, the dream that Ali al-Akbar, that we'll cover later, he sees. And then he asks his father about what's going to happen, and the Imam tells him what's going to happen in the end, and we're all going to be killed. The only thing that matters to him is, are we on the right path or not? Brothers and sisters, Abu Abdullah did the hard job. Ashura won't be repeated. Ashura was one of the secrets of Allah. The hard part is taken care of. It's now you and I, how we, in that internal struggle of ours, how good we do. How much inspiration we take from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Are we after, first and foremost, the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Abu Abdullah could have said, okay, this one time is okay, you know what? Allah will forgive. How many of us really use this argument in our lives? That one time is not going to be 1,000 nights. One night is not going to be 1,000 nights. As a matter of fact, that's exactly where Allah is watching. Think about it. The test is not when it's easy. The test when it's a little hard. Police officers, do they stand like, I don't know, in the daytime, there's a red light, and they'll stand right there just to make sure no one passes the red light. I want to catch somebody who's going to pass the red light. Is that what they do? Or no, they find a spot where they can't be seen too well. In a vulnerable position, vulnerable place and point in the road, you know, and that's what makes this app so good. You know, this Waze app. It tells you where the cops are staying. You know what I'm saying? Everyone appreciates that, right? Why? Because the cop, he's going to stand in those vulnerable points where people usually speed. That's where they're watching to see, are you going to keep it kosher or not? Are you going to go by the law or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same thing. It's not like, okay, let me test him or her on Ashura day when they're on this side of the partition or that side of the partition. No, no, no. I mean, he's watching there too. I don't want to question that. But I'm trying to draw a comparison here. Just give an example of how it works. Yeah. That one night that's not going to be 1,000 nights is worth 1,000 nights for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get what I'm saying? Abu Abdullah here, he's programmed. The Ahlul Bayt are programmed to only look at one thing, and that's satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Everything else they do falls second. Number one, Allah's satisfaction. Oh my brother, if there is no safe haven and place and refuge for me, there's no way I'm giving bay'ah. In other words, you're trying to figure out where the best place for me is to go. But hey, let me just tell you, and let me tell history and mankind, that even if there is no safe haven for Abu Abdullah, he's going to still be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is going to show him a way out. This is in Nahj al-Balagha as well. Imam Ali, they say, when he was taking Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, after he was expelled from Medina by Uthman, no one was supposed to bid him farewell. Abu Dharr was supposed to leave with no one with him. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he broke the law there, the law that was unfair, of course, and followed him out of Medina and escorted him out. And he said a few lines there. He said, he told Abu Dharr that, hey, if the heavens and earth are closed upon a servant of Allah, but even in that situation, they go by what Allah wants. Allah will show a way out of that closed situation that you feel that there's no way out of. This is exactly what Imam Hussein is saying. If I don't find a safe haven, it doesn't matter, because I have Allah with me. What's the worst that can happen? I leave this dunya. Okay, the real life is to come. So when he says this, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, with the love that he has for his brother, it says that tears start rolling down from his eyes. He knows what's going on too. That Imam Hussein is not one to compromise. And so he says, oh my brother, may Allah reward you the best of rewards. Imam Hussein sees that he's crying now. So this is where Imam Hussein goes back to what Muhammad was saying. It's like, it's as if Imam Hussein breaks out of that mode of servitude and just making sure that servitude is happening. He goes back to the suggestions that Muhammad was making once he sees Muhammad crying. He says, oh my brother, may Allah reward you the best of rewards. Indeed, you gave good advice and pointed to what is right. I have made my decision to depart from Mecca. Me, my brethren, my sons of my brother and my followers have all prepared for this journey. Their affair is my affair, and their decision is my decision. As for you, Muhammad, you stay behind. So here, those who will argue in favor of Muhammad that he stayed behind, they'll say, look, Imam Hussein told him to stay behind. Stay behind in Medina and be my secret agent over them, the Bani Umayyah, and what they want to do, what their plots are, while not withholding any of their affairs and that information from me. So Imam Hussein, according to this account, is giving him the responsibility to keep him updated, to keep him informed of the plots that these enemies of Islam have. And then it says in the end of this part of our story, it says that as he told these words to Muhammad, and I love these words that he's about to say, they saw him going towards the grave of the Prophet again. Remember I said he kept going to the grave of the Prophet before he left Medina. And as he was going to the grave of the Prophet, he started reciting some poetry. And some who heard him, they said, once we heard him say, recite this poetry, we knew something's up. This is not a normal journey that he's going to go on. And just to translate that poetry, it says, I am not afraid. Now this is poetry, it has to do with a certain context. Imam Hussein is using that poetry for his own situation. It says, I am not afraid of the shepherds at daybreak and when I am ambushed. Now what this story is exactly, I don't know. It's about someone who was ambushed by shepherds, but he's using this for himself. And they shouldn't call me by my name. I am not Ibn Abi, as they say. I am not the son of my father. If I give my hand in order to avoid the dangers that threaten my life. You see, once again, he goes back to servitude mode. That's what we should try to accomplish, brothers and sisters, in our lives. Servitude mode. It's interesting. Allah created us for إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Right? For this servitude mode, reaching that mode, what does our culture teach us? I'm not going to be hating on sports right now, but I just want to give you an example. We are supposed to elevate from animal to actual insan and human being. They teach us that the goal should be beast mode, for example. That guy's a beast. That guy, when he plays football, he's an animal. Wow, okay, so wait a minute. Is the goal in life to be an animal or is it to be a human being, an insan? Servitude mode. You know what I'm referring to when I say beast mode, right? Number 24. Abu Abdullah teaches us servitude. He goes back into that mode again, you see? He came out of that state to make his brother feel better. But once again, he goes back into that mode. Another example of that, the great Ayatollah Al-Kumpani, they call him. Muhammad Hussein Al-Gharawi, his name was. He's one of Ayatollah Behjat's teachers in Usul. He has a book of poetry on the Ahl Bayt. One of those poems that he has, which is awesome, he talks about the jinn that came to help Abu Abdullah and Ashura, and how they come and their leader comes to Imam Hussein, breaks through the lines of the angels and the jinn and everything, makes his way to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein is in his own world after like all his companions are gone, or maybe before that. He says, oh master, we are here to help you. Imam Hussein says, it's like he was in another world with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he all of a sudden like wakes up and he says, why do you think you're helping me? I was talking to the Lord. I was up there. You took me out of that. Abu Abdullah is somewhere else. Hashtag servitude mode, brothers and sisters. He's a servant of Allah. Ayatollah Behjat, on his grave it says, Al-Abd. That's my honor, that I'm a servant of Allah. Everything else comes after that. Recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So as you can tell, he has a special relationship with his brother Muhammad, Imam Hussein. Yes? A little bit later, maybe a couple days later after that, Allahu A'lam, as Imam Hussein is really getting ready to leave and he's doing the final things that he needs to do and taking care of those things, he writes a will to Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah. And this is, you could say, maybe the most famous. These are the most famous lines of Imam Hussein alayhi salam before he departs Medina that we've all heard of. But I think we can appreciate it more now, how it kind of climaxes. We started 2-3 days ago, right? With the different things that happened, with the different things he said. The key terms and recurring terms that he has in his sayings as people come up to him, as he's dealing with the governor of Medina, Marwan, others. Now it's time to wrap it all up and say it in a nutshell. And he puts it all in these few lines that we've all heard. So alhamdulillah, we've given it context now. It's time to leave slowly. He might have a few more discussions with others before he leaves, but now he's making it official. He writes the famous lines to his brother Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah in a will, they say, that وَإِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرًا ولا بطرا ولا مفسدا ولا ظالما إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر وأسير بسيرة جدي وأبي علي بن أبي طالب. This is an excerpt of the things that he writes. I'm going to go through the English for you. As if like all the dialogues that happen aren't enough, he has to officially make these statements as well. Okay, brothers and sisters? He says, this is what has been willed by Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib to his brother Muhammad, renowned as Ibn Hanafiyyah. So you can tell that this title was there from the beginning for Muhammad, son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, brother of Imam Hassan, Imam Husayn. Known as Ibn Hanafiyyah, verily Husayn bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah alone. So first he goes through some aqa'id, making sure that everyone knows what he believed in, going back to the basics as I highlighted before. Verily Husayn bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah alone, and bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the slave and the messenger of Allah. Recite salawat. Who has been righteously chosen by him. And that Jannah, paradise, and hell are truth. These are the basics. And without doubt, the day of Qiyamah and resurrection will come. And Allah will arise all those who are buried inside their graves. This is what I believe in, Imam Husayn says. Okay, so what are you doing now? Let me tell you what I'm doing. I have not risen for mischief and out of arrogance, nor to spread corruption and oppression. I'm letting everyone know I wasn't wasting my time. I wasn't messing around. If you want to, these four things that he says, nor out of mischief, arrogance, spread corruption, oppression. In other words, I'm not messing around. This is real stuff. So that later, that sheikh who comes out and says, that sheikh in Saudiya, he comes out and says that the bay'ah of Yazid was a shar'i, legitimate bay'ah. In other words, Imam Husayn was wrong in what he did. In other words, he wasn't keeping it real, Imam Husayn. People like that, when they come, we can throw this in their face, that he said himself, I'm not after these things. A person who has a legitimate bay'ah on his neck has no responsibility. A person who has bay'ah on his neck still goes against it. That person's after corruption, after oppression, after the dhulm and these things. But a person who doesn't have that bay'ah on him and chooses not to give that bay'ah, as a matter of fact, they're after something else. What are they after? Ya Aba Abdullah, you negated this part. Well, what are you after? You're not after these things. Fine, what are you after? Oh my God, this is the most important part. But I have left for the purpose of the reformation of the nation of my grandfather. Reformation. Talab al-Islah. Look at this. Now, this is the English. The purpose of reformation. That's a translation of English. But that's Islah. I am going for Islah. Imam Husayn didn't say, Kharajtu li Islah, or lil Islah, or li Islah ummati jaddi. He said, li talab al Islah. Do you guys remember a few days ago I was saying this? Inshallah you do. How we're not after results. What are we after? Servitude. We're after what? What's the ultimate goal? Allah's satisfaction. But what if I don't get the desired results? Well, that was his job, not my job. Do wadifa. Take the first step. Don't worry about the rest. Allah says, I got this. Take care of your wadifa. What does Imam Husayn here say? He says, I am leaving Medina. Why? Lil islah? For the end result of fixing up the nation of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet. Does he say that? Or he says, لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ. I am doing this with hopes of islah happening. Is it going to happen or not? That's another story. You get it, brothers and sisters? That is the utmost tawheed, I think, that one can have. That's how he words it. I desire to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, enjoin good and forbid evil. Yes, sometimes you want to enjoin good and forbid evil. Hey, brother, sister, hey, what are you drinking? That's haram, don't drink it. That person pulls a gun out and says, what are you? You're going to still enjoin good and forbid evil? You say, okay, fine, just drink it, man. That's an insignificant thing. I'm not going to lose my life over it. But then sometimes Islam is in danger. The Amr al-Ma'ruf here will dictate that, hey, if you're going to lose your life still, it's wajib. Imam Hussein taught us that no matter how hard the wajib is, we have to do it. He did the hard job. For me, it's not to do this, not to do that. Everyday life, be careful with my parents, keep their respect. That's what it's all about for me. He taught me that no matter how hard the wajib is, I have to do it. I desire to enjoin and spread good and forbid evil and to follow the footsteps of my grandfather and father Ali ibn Abi Talib. Thus, the one who accepts this truth through me has accepted the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the one who betrays me, I shall forbear. I'm not going to give up. I shall forbear and be patient until Allah judges between myself and the oppressive people, the Bani Umayyah of that time. And verily, Allah is the best judge. This is the testimony to you from me, O brother Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah. And my tawfiq and success in what I am embarking on is with Allah alone, on whom alone I rely, and unto Him alone do I return. Brothers and sisters, inshallah you guys go back. You can Google these words, these sayings of Imam Hussein. Just sit down and think about them a little bit. Talab al-Islah. If I see my youth doing latmiyah, for example, if I see my youth getting together in Muharram, Ashura, that is wonderful, alhamdulillah. Abu Abdullah did all of this, and we are doing what we're doing on these nights and these days to keep Imam Hussein alive, yes. But Imam Hussein wanted to keep something else alive, Islam. What is Islam? Well, the first thing that defines Islam is what? When you ask a non-Muslim, hey, what do you think about Islam? What's the first thing he'll ask you? Say, hey, give me your holy book, let me take a look at it. Yeah? I mean, when I want to learn about Christianity, I'll go to their book. How much are we thinking about reforming ourselves, fixing our situation? I always say this, like, now in our culture, for example, Lebanese culture, I don't know how it works. I can tell you about the Iranian culture. I can tell you about, for example, the Desi culture as well. In some cultures, there are a lot of majalis. For interest of time, I'm not going to stretch the a lot more than that, okay? In interest of time, just that much should suffice. A lot of majalis happen, even in the homes of people. Lots. Lots, okay? For example, in one community, you'll have like 300-400 programs that happen in the houses throughout the 2 months and 9 days of aza and grief. That's wonderful. No one is saying that 300 should go down to 299 even. The question though is, okay, we're spending all this money and energy and time. Yeah, wonderful. To keep Imam Hussein alive, wonderful. So that Islam is alive, wonderful. How much of the other 10 months of the year are we spending time, energy, money on learning, educating? Reform will not come without educating, by the way. Just saying. How much have we worked on Quran? I will recite Latmiyah better than I can recite Quran. Oh, Shaykh is against Latmiyah. Oh, come on. Did I say that? Did I say that? You laughing. Did I say that? Of course I did. Oh, Shaykh is saying less majalis. Did I say that? I said, don't let it become 299. I'm saying 300 should become 1,000, but those 700 should be educational classes, courses, learning, coming and going of ulama and teachers and all that throughout the other 10 months of the year. Because we want to impress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to impress Abu Abdullah. Oh, Abu Abdullah, on the night of Ashura, what did you ask for? You asked for extra time for the night of Ashura. Why? I want to recite Quran. I want to pray. These are the things that he wants to do. These are the things that impress him. And if I want to make sure that he's happy with me, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. Taking time out of my schedule is going to be hard, probably. I know. But what I have to make sure to understand, at least, is that a follower and lover of Imam Hussein will read these words and say, okay, wherever Imam Hussein's name is, there will be reform there as well. If there is, I don't know what the word for it is stagnancy, being stagnant. If there is being stagnant, Imam Hussein's name is not going to be there. reform for us, at least, the least. So we learn this religion. Learn what these Ahl Bayt said. Learn what the Quran said. A brother was once venting to me, and he had taken on a great initiative, Islamic schools, somewhere else, not here. And he was venting to me. He says, Sheikh, if I ask people for $1,000 for a majlis, they'll give it. But if I ask them for $100 to help out a certain educational initiative, like a school, like other things, they're hesitant. Not only hesitant, they'll hold back. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I don't know if that's what Abu Abdullah, how he saw things. Wherever the name of Abu Abdullah is, the name of reform should be there as well. In some form, one form or another. I think personally, it starts with the educational aspect. Inshallah, Allah gives us the tawfiq to first reform ourselves through one, knowledge, education. Two, through acting upon it. Then we can have an effect on our surroundings, what's going on around us. But if we don't have an understanding of whatever we're doing, and we just want to make sure we pass this torch on to the next generation without the reasoning that comes with it, it's not that Allah is going to, you know, come and magically swoop down and fix things for up in the future. No, we're going to start losing people. We're going to start losing our youth. We're going to start losing Islam. Wa ala al-Islam as-salam. Inshallah, Allah gives the tawfiq to learn, educate, teach, and implement in our lives as well, so we can also be of those who uphold the message of Abu Abdullah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.